Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. What's going on? It is today, Friday, the day where we all can relax and have a great time. I have to tell you, it's beautiful over here in the New York, New Jersey area. Sunny, 60s. We're excited about that. We'll be bringing on our co-host soon with Jay Logan. And we have a very, very special guest today. Her name is Anastasia Isaac. She is someone I've known for many years, an amazing woman who has always contributed to society in some way. Well, she decided that she wanted to move over to Europe, and she has learned French, of course, that she's known for quite a while, and she's known Italian, and she studied both languages and art and so forth, and then started something called Let Love Lead, a nonprofit organization that inspires and heals through the arts for HIV and AIDS globally and people who suffer with that. But in the meantime, we're going to bring on our co-host, Mr. Jay Logan. Mr. Logan, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Everything is wonderful. And it's been rainy out here, Gail, in California. But
well, I'm sorry, I have to rub in your face that it's not rainy here. I have to tell you. I'm sorry. I really, because usually you guys beat us over there, and it's always nice over there, and it's just so unfair. So I have to rub this in your face. I'm sorry.
I heard the tulips were coming out, and all the flowers were blooming out in spring over there. Unfortunately, we're still in winter over here. So I know you guys got me this time, but we'll be back.
But isn't it fair, sir?
I don't think so. Maybe you. I do think it's fair.
I mean, we have to deal with so much, and I think it's unfair that every time I call, oh, it's sunny out here and it's great out here, while we're, you know, just sitting here dealing with whatever we have to deal with. I just think it's about time we got you guys, you know?
Right, it is.
You're actually agreeing? Oh, my goodness, I think I'm going to hit the floor.
Okay. I agree because it is. You guys have been in a lot of weather and for years, not just now. So it's amazing that the weather is better over there than over here in the spring.
Talking about weather, I want to talk about this guy who really did something amazing. Okay, really did something amazing. What he did was, he had been doing some work for Nike in their commercials, okay? And his name is Casey Neistat, okay? And yes, he tricked Nike. They told him to do, a video for their slogan, Make It Count, right? So he did a little bit different, okay? What he did was he actually did a video of taking the budget of the money they gave him and went across the world and made it count. So he said, make it count. He shot a commercial for the Nike Fuel band featuring Make It Count. But what he did is he strayed from the agreed-upon spot and set off a journey around the world using Nike's money and advice to make it count. So what he basically did is make the money count, and it was amazing. He shot people, in different places. He made it count, like people were counting, and it has gone completely viral. It was just completely amazing, And that was something I thought was so, so cool, because he actually made it count, So, that was one thing. So do you have a piece of news for us today, Jay?
Yeah, I do have some information. I don't know if you know what. Well, you do. I do know you do know about what algae is. They're actually...
No, I don't know, Jay. I have no idea what algae is. I'm going to ask you a question. What is algae, Jay?
Well, algae is the green stuff that builds up in water, and this couple is getting up. These scholarships, they're doing this medical stuff about how you can use algae as a new source
Jay,
of food.
Jay, I think we're having some technical difficulties. Sorry, audience. We need to hear you just a little clearer, Mr. Logan.
Okay. They're giving scholarships out for algae research.
Okay.
To high school students and college students. And the company is called Fluid Imaging. Fluid Imaging is giving these scholarships for algae research. And they're giving up to $1,000 annually for 4 years of study of algae technology. And you can go to get more information at fluidimaging.com if you're interested in studying algae and using it for biofuels productions or as a feedstock. So, again, they're offering this program to nearly 50 other educational institutions worldwide. So it's not just America. And you can go to fluidimaging.com and try to get you a great scholarship there for $1,000 and do some algae research. So I thought that was great for the young people where they can, you know, make some extra money and get educated in algae research.
That's great, Jay. Well, guess what? I've got more interesting information for you as well. There is this amazing situation where, we have a situation where they're actually doing this thing that with, you know, how we look at celebrities and how society in America looks at celebrities. So a gentleman, believe it or not, went out into the mall. He was a no-name person. He wanted to show how anyone could do this. Now, I'm sure you know that famous that young man who is a producer. His name is Ryan. And he did the same thing to become a famous producer, but nobody knew who he was. Well, here's the interesting part. He goes to a Virginia mall. The gentleman's name was Thomas Elliott. He's not famous. So people thought he was in the Hunger Games. People thought he was in the Spider-Man. And his name is actually Thomas Kramer. He's with Chili Hill Media. So he goes in there. He ends up shutting down the mall, having security walk with him. All these women are raving about him and going crazy. And he's no one special other than a regular guy. He never tells them he's with Spider-Man or any other show. He's just signing autographs. No one bothers to ask him. And wow, what it shows is how young people, he shut down a huge mall in Virginia with all of the top stores. Can you believe that?
That's exciting. Wow, I can't believe that. Yeah, it's incredible.
And he's a no name. And what it just shows, and it was really a lot of young people, is that, you know, it doesn't take much to be famous. And he actually never, ever said a word. And women were giving him the phone numbers. And this is to speak to the young girls out there. They were giving him their phone number. And he called one of them. And his whole point was to show that we are so gullible at times, you know? But it was also hilarious. It was just hilarious to see that someone could actually do that, you know? So that's my second thing to share with you guys today.
Wow, that's incredible. That's, you never know who you never know who you can run into. That's it's kind of like it reminds me of Superman and Clark Kent. You never know that Clark Kent is Superman unless you know you really know that, you know. So
exactly,
that's amazing.
And the whole thing was that he was nobody. That's the whole thing that's really funny. He was nobody. You know, there was nothing. That's what was so hilarious. He really wasn't anyone.
Wow.
You know, and it just has you really, really laugh about it. So, Jay, what any other things that you have for us before we bring on our illustrious guest in the next minute?
Yes, I have something about Spotify, which Spotify has pretty much just caught up to some of the other music websites. They just announced they put a play button, which enables them to share their playlists around the web. So that's just an update on Spotify for now. And also Yahoo now going to take their music, Yahoo Music, a little more serious now. And they're assuring all of us music fans that they're going to make that their priority. So that's what Yahoo is saying after they just laid off a bunch of people. But now they're back and they're emailing everybody, assuring everybody that Yahoo Music will become one of their priorities now. So we'll see where that goes in the future on our future shows, what Yahoo is going
to do. Okay. That's great. And you know, the next thing I have to share was that They found out that 2.5 million laptops later, one laptop per child does not improve test scores. According to the Inter-American Development Bank, who did this in Latin America, they said 319 schools in Peru, it found that the students are more likely to use computers than their other counterparts. But it also said that a new study suggests that it did not have any effect on the achievement in math or language. Now, this study was done, it's about $200 per computer. It's been 2.5 million laptops to classrooms in 42 countries. Now, it also said it did not affect attendance, time allocated to school activities, or quality of instruction in class. Even though the laptops came loaded with 200 books, reading habits of recipients match those of their control groups, 74% of them still have five or fewer books in their homes. It suggested that the introduction of computers increased motivation, but our results suggest that it didn't do anything else. And that, that's what goes back to our original, what we talked about. But we'll have to stop there because we are now bringing on a great person by the name of Anna Celia Isaac, who, as I said, went off to Europe to create this wonderful life for herself, and she has, and started a nonprofit organization called Let Love Lead. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Anna Celia Isaac. Anna Celia, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, and we're so excited.
Oh, this is so exciting. Okay. Yeah. Oy, as they say here in Holland. Oi, oi, oi.
Well, Anna Celia, you and I have known each other for years. I'd like you to meet our co-host, Jay Logan. And Jay is a producer who has worked with everyone from MC Hammer to En Vogue and several other people, and he's out of our San Francisco location. So, Jay, this is Anna Celia Isaacs.
Oi, oi, oi. And how are you doing on our show today?
I'm great. It's so wonderful to be here and to have this opportunity to spread some sunshine and feel the love.
Well, honey, we know you're going to spread a whole lot of love today.
Amen.
And so, we are really excited to have you on here.
Yes.
Jay, I've known Anna Celia for a long time. Like we are a dude. Anna Celia, do you know we are a dude?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you know Liora Adut?
Do I know him what?
Do you know Liora Adut?
Liora?
Hear me now, Anna Celia?
Oh, okay. Now I can hear you, but I couldn't hear you. Liora from Landmark, how are you?
I'm sorry?
Do you mean Liora from Landmark?
Yes, I do. Liora was on a show with Jay and I, and she declared 10 years ago that she would be a world-renowned makeup artist, but she calls herself a makeup activist who actually supports women and their beauty. And I love bringing on amazing women like you and Liora, that Jay and I get to share with our audience who declare something and then have it happen.
Amen.
So we're going to ask you a couple of questions, Liora, Jay and I, about, your journey of going to Europe, Let Love Lead nonprofit organization, and what had you decide to do this? So, without further ado, I'm going to begin here. So I know that you had been, in the arts for so long. What made you decide to go over to Europe, and actually start a career there and start studying there? Can you share that with Jay and I?
Yes. Well, actually, the Let Love Lead project was created to address the pandemic in the world, which is the HIV/AIDS crisis. So it was designed to empower women and girls, because women and girls are the number one victim of this crisis, and the number one people suffering from it as far as stigma, as far as their lives, as far as their safety, as far as their hunger issues, as far as their education. It is impacting every area of their lives. And it's not just women in Africa, as people would like to say it, but this is a global issue, including in the USA. So when I really sat down and saw just how far-reaching the AIDS epidemic has taken its hold, so it is no longer an African problem. It's no longer a homosexual problem. It's no longer a poor person's problem. It is a disease that is crossing every economic, culture, gender, religion, race, everything. It's impacted everything. And the minute I really was able to wrap my brain around this horrible fact, I said, I'm either going to cry about it, scream about it, or do something about it. So I created Let Love Lead to say only love can fix this, because there's not a lot of love in the world right now for people with HIV, people with AIDS. So love is going to do the trick. And what I know about the arts is that it's the greatest healing ever. It is the way to make a difference. So I created a program that builds self-esteem, does leadership development, and gives has people recognize their voice and their ability to speak the unspeakable using theater, poetry, music, dance, and art, visual arts. And that was so that people who are impacted, who are living in shame, who are living in guilt, who are living with the fear of being killed because of their status, give them the power to speak their truth, demand protection, demand their rights be acknowledged, and demand people treat them as human beings and not as something to be afraid of and need to do harm to. So that's
how... Jay, do you have any questions for Anasuya?
Yes, I wanted to know about the empowering their leadership and some of the mural art stuff that you're doing, art exhibition. Could you explain some of that stuff to us?
Yes. Well, what it is that when people have discover that they're HIV positive, the first thing they do is go into denial. The first thing they do is go into denial because it's a death sentence. In most places around the world, outside of Europe and America, being HIV positive is a death sentence, mainly because there's a lot of ignorance. People don't have access to medical education. There's a lot of rumors and lies about the disease. And on top of that, even if someone were educated and knew that there was help in terms of antiretroviral medicine, most people in the world do not have access to them. It's too expensive. They're not able to follow the protocol. They're not able to eat enough because you basically have to have at least one really good meal a day to take those medicines, because the medicines are so strong they will kill you if you don't have the right kind of food in you. So it's the leadership is around having people address these issues, but that they be the people who are impacted by these issues. Because it's one thing for me to go in and say, this isn't right, and I'm HIV negative. And that has one impact for me to go in there and say it. But someone who is HIV positive, playing the role of an activist, has a whole different impact.
Yes.
And Suya, one of the other things the audience would love to know, when you first went over to Europe, what were your plans like? You studied in Paris. Can you share with us what you studied and the impact that it has had for you to create what you're creating there in Europe?
Okay, yes, I will. So I will get to that. So when I created this project, I created the Let Love Lead project to first deal with Africa and the way the pandemic is impacting Africa, which is bearing the most of the brunt of the disease, as well as the lack of medicine and care and education in this area. So I went to Senegal, Kenya, South Africa, and did the program there. But when I went to study in Paris, I went to study international relations with the intention of becoming a diplomat. My goal was to be a diplomat for the U.S. Department, State Department, and go and make these kind of differences around the world. And it took me a while to figure out while I was studying at the Sorbonne that when you work for the government in this capacity, you are responsible for towing the line of and the policies of the government in charge. So with each government, the same country could be impacted by very different policies and not necessarily ones that you would agree with. So when I really started to see what I would be signing up for, I chose to go the way of diplomacy via arts, how to use the arts, books, film, poetry, music, to get the same message out to people that I would have more constraints on me as an American diplomat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then let me ask you something. Out of those countries that you actually worked in and created this with, what country would you say had, I know all of them have a big impact on you, but which ones would you say had the biggest impact on you?
Now, when you say impact, what kind of impact are you talking about?
Impact is though which one really changed your life. You know, when we embark on a situation like you have, okay, everything impacts what we're doing. But there's maybe out of South Africa, out of Kenya, you know, out of Senegal, what experience out of, give us one experience out of all three of those countries that you visited that had the most profound effect on your life and the work that you're doing.
Okay. I'll do contrast. Senegal is the direct opposite of South Africa. So to the degree that South Africa had been ravaged by the disease, and at one time, it's no longer the case, but at one time when I was there, it was the country the most impacted by AIDS, with the highest percentage of HIV positive persons that were documented in the world. And in the same degree, Senegal is one of the fewest, is one of the places where there are the fewest numbers of infection rate. It's only 1%. And I wanted to know what is the difference between the two countries, and what is the difference in their policies and their culture that could produce such a drastic difference. And what I saw with Senegal is that it's in the culture of Islam. There is a difference in the way that men and women engage with one another, and there's a difference in the way that men and men deal with promiscuity. And there's also the in that country of Senegal, there's also, due to the fact that there's a great democracy there, there's quite a bit of peace there. It's been a democratic country and been very peaceful since it claimed its freedom from France. So there's also an economic stability that is there that isn't in South Africa, that hasn't been in South Africa since it was freed from apartheid. And in South Africa, being the most financially, economically abundant country on the continent, you have a lot of people who are coming from other countries to benefit from that wealth, so therefore to work in South Africa and send their money back home. And because you have a lot of traffic of human beings going from across country, across places, you have a lot of people coming to work all along Southern Africa and who are far away from home, far away from their families, far away from a support system, and therefore visiting a lot of prostitutes, therefore having a lot of extramarital sex, having a lot of unprotected sex. the whole need economically for people to move, to find a way to feed their families, to find a way to take care of their families is a number one contributing factor to the spread of AIDS. Because the whole route that they're taking to get from country to country, they're sleeping around. And it's all driven by the need to eat, the need to make money. So that's what struck me the most in understanding it on a global perspective, how this disease is doing what it's doing. And you see it all over the world. People leaving their villages to go to the big cities and therefore be far away from home, be far away from their wife and children, be away for almost 9 to 10 months of the year. That has an impact. And very few men are either staying faithful or using condoms while they are away working.
Wow, that's actually amazing. Jay, I think you had some questions further.
Yeah, I wanted to know about the mural art exhibit. Have you displayed these exhibits? Are they available for people to see, or are you still working on the mural art exhibits to put the word out of their writings and what their feelings are? Are those still in the workings?
Oh, whew. The last mural I did was in South Africa, was in the townships. I have not done them since I've been to Europe. I've been in Europe and I've been across 6 countries talking to people and seeing what's going on, really gathering information, because in every country this issue raises its head and has an impact in a very different way. So that's what I've been doing, is doing a lot of research and putting together an exhibit of paintings that I'm doing about these encounters in Europe and about healing. Because I know, as someone who has used art to heal as a tool of healing for others, you know, one of the reasons I came on this trip to Europe is to heal myself. So there will be an exhibit of very different pieces next month, the middle, the 13th and 14th and 15th of May. And then on the next trip in June to India, that's when I'll be doing more of the murals that I did in Africa will be happening in India.
What is your artistry? And I understand you're into poetry. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yes, I actually was a spoken word, performing spoken word artist for many years in New York City, and had a great opportunity to work with some fabulous, amazing poets in the 90s when spoken word was just taken off in a new way, right before the Russell Simmons show. So that was pretty much when I stopped doing poetry at that time and moved toward theater, because I found that I love storytelling, and I use the poetry and the spoken word to tell stories, people's stories, stories that of people that are tend to be invisible. And that longing to tell the story of invisible people was part of the seeds that got me going around the world to collect stories of people and have them be told. And so I went from spoken word to theater and writing plays so that I'll have more time to deal with these issues, because in a spoken word piece, you might have at the most 5 minutes to tell a whole story. And if you're really good at words and metaphors, you can tell a lot with a few words. But I wanted the opportunity to tell more of the story and show people more of the diversity of what's going on, which is how I moved to theater.
Wow. You know, Anna Suya, a couple of weeks ago, we had a little more than a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we actually had the opportunity to have a young lady on the show who was actually the daughter of the lawyer who represented Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Gabrielle Carlson, and her father, Joel Carlson, represented him in the middle of the night. Her and her father and her parents had to move here to the United States, and she hasn't been back since, apartheid, even a little bit before apartheid ended.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's amazing, you know, of her, what she shared with us about South Africa and being a, you know, a white South Africaner who could share with us, you know, whether you're a black South Africaner or a white South Africaner, what it was like, for, you know, in those days. And one of the things that she said is that during those times, that if you were a black South Africaner or a white South Africaner, you know, associating with each other, it was definitely a no-no, and you could be arrested or killed, whether black or white. My question to you is, now that apartheid is over and you have visited some years ago, you know, established yourself there and also in Senegal and Kenya, what did you find about the differences in the way people interacted with each other in South Africa and Senegal and also Kenya, specifically around AIDS? Like, how did, now that apartheid's over, you know, South Africa's a little bit in a different place. How did you see people, not only just the policies, but just interacting with each other around it? Were they open? Were they closed? You know, old school about it, old traditions. What did you see about those things?
Well, one of the things that I saw, whether it's here in Europe or whether it's in Africa, and from what I understand from speaking to and networking with other activists around the world, that's pretty the same, is that if you have AIDS, people basically are terrified, and something very primal happens. So in the Western world, you may be shunned or kicked out of your church, or you may not be allowed to go to school. Like I was just reading, someone sent me something just yesterday about a 14-year-old boy that was denied admission to the Hershey Institute, which is a school run by Hershey Chocolate. A 14-year-old was denied admission to the school, even though he passed all the exams and had everything that was required to meet the standards to get into the school, but he was denied solely on the basis that he was HIV positive. So when you see that something like that is happening just yesterday, and when you see, then it's really easy to understand how people in other countries can take that one step further. Okay, we won't deny you just access to school, which they do. We won't deny you access to our church, which they do. But we will also harm you because we want you to get out of our village. So if you don't get out the village, we'll kill you.
Wow. And is this more, where did you find, which country did you find this more in?
Where the people are,
like kind of closed in this way.
Where people go as far as killing you?
Yes, and just very closed and, you know, all of that. Did you find it more in Europe, more here in the U.S., more in South Africa, Kenya, or Senegal?
Well, you know, when AIDS first came out in the U.S., it was primarily, not only, but primarily in the gay community, and many of them were killed.
Interesting.
So this phenomena is global. It is a global instinctual survival reaction that human beings, they forget their humanity and become quite inhumane. And that's pretty global.
Well, one of the things I would like to ask you, you know, in terms of where you are now, you have gone to school to become a diplomat. You have done various programs in various countries. You have been a spoken word artist, okay? You have also gone on to do shows, you know, in theater. You know, with all of this vast experience, okay, you have so much experience that many people wish to have, and are you currently looking at ways, like you talked about storytelling, and I really loved what you said, telling the story about people who are invisible. But if we skip through to today, and, you know, we want to make a difference with youth, which is really about youth education, empowerment, you know, teaching youth arts, culture, and so forth like that. If there were a couple of things that you could say that your experience could lend to, or even something that you're doing right now with youth, what are those things? What are you either doing now or what would you like to do in the future to make a difference with people in these countries?
Oh, wow. I would love to give every one of them a microphone. Well, I would love to give everyone a microphone, because what I'm seeing is the biggest issue, whether they're HIV positive or not. Most people, whether they're in Africa, Brazil, India, or China, or in America, most people experience themselves as invisible. Most people, especially in what we have labeled the developing world, are marginalized. They're invisible. They're just a statistic. Most people don't have the experience of being known, of their life mattering, of having the experience that their living is not in vain, that it makes a difference.
And see, I have a good question for you. I wanted to know about some of the children, the resources that they might need and you have provided over the years. And could you tell our audience about some of the things that are needed in those homes and those orphan households?
What children need is simple.
Clean
water.
Okay.
They need clean water. They need a mosquito net over their beds. They need one meal a day that's nutritious. And they need access to school. That's what they need.
And is that also in Europe, also where you're there in Europe working, those are the same needs?
Kids here? No, because they're pretty privileged. The children in Europe have actually access to wonderful education. Now, that is me speaking in general.
Mm-hmm.
You all have disparities based on color, based on religion. Right now, at this moment in time, children, there used to be a time when blacks, when they first started to come to Europe, from their back, returning from the colony to their colonizers, you know, they were the most discriminated and reviled people. Now, for that case is the Muslims, and now that is also people from Eastern Europe who are coming for better opportunities. So whoever is the minority is the one taking the heat, and also who has less access to education, less access to certain opportunities because of discrimination. But it's still very small in Europe compared to what's going on in China, India, Brazil, Latin America. It's way smaller.
What's the difference in how you interact with each other in Africa, Europe, and America? What's the difference that you've seen since you've been doing this?
Okay, so I just need a little bit more. The difference between what?
How the kids interact with each other in each continent, Africa, Europe, and America. What's the difference that you see?
What we're saying is, Anasuya, what is the difference? You know, youth and their peers. You know, if you're a teen, you act one way here. You know, there may be a way in which they communicate with each other here, and there may be a way in which youth communicate with each other in Europe, and there may be a way in which youth communicate with each other in South Africa versus West Africa. We're asking you to share with our audiences, what have you noticed the difference in how they communicate within, you know, with themselves in each country and continent?
Whew. It's so hard to generalize like that because we're talking continents here. One thing I can say safely is that children are beautiful everywhere. They're just absolutely beautiful, and you really see how their hearts just want to be loved. But I will say that children in what we call indigenous places, what we call poor nations, children that we call in places that have not had technology and advances like the rest of the world have had, those children tend to be inventive, creative, imaginative, just, I mean, completely on top of things because they have to be. They don't have toys. They don't mostly have a lot of clothes. They don't have shoes. They don't even have clean water. I mean, these are kids that don't have whatever we think is necessary to be a kid, but they stick together. They love each other. They're kind. They look out for one another. It's amazing. They really understand that they don't have much, but what they do have is each other. They have the earth. They have the connection to their ancestors. They have a sense of belonging and a sense of rightness in the world that I find that kids in the Western world and kids in America don't have.
Well, let me ask you this then, you know, on top of what Jay was asking you. We're bringing on a guest right now. We call him America's TMSD Machine. As he went through some things himself and has now given his life over to doing talks one-on-one with teens as well as a lot of motivational speaking to teenagers. And out of a lot of people that go around doing this, Matthew is one of the very few people that really does connect. You know, there's a lot of people that give speeches and lectures, but they don't connect. And so, Anasuya, if you will stay with us just for a few more seconds, we'd love to bring Matt on and, you know, share with you about this. So, Mr. Jay Logan. Yeah, so Mr. Logan, why don't you introduce Matt this week?
All right, we have a wonderful, wonderful man that's getting ready to come on the phone, Mr. Matthew Forrest. How are you doing today? And we're glad to have you as usual on our beautiful Listen Give Network.
Thank you
Hi,
so
Matthew.
Much, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello, hello. I'm happy to be here.
So, Matthew, I don't know if you had the opportunity to learn a little bit about our esteemed guest, Anasuya Isaacs. Anasuya Isaacs is someone I've known for many years. She makes a difference globally, and when we say globally, she really does. She declared that she was going to go to Europe, as she has shared on the show, to become a diplomat from the U.S. to New York City, studied in Paris, and then went on to create nonprofit organization where she visits South Africa, Senegal, and also Nairobi, Kenya. And then she is now thusly living in the Netherlands. So she just has a broad range of experience, and she's worked with older and younger. So she's really excited to meet you as well.
That's right.
It's great to meet you. And I'm happy to have caught the last 5 or 10 minutes of what we were speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Matthew, before you go into your tip, is there anything that you would love to share, you know, out of hearing about what Anasuya was just speaking about with regard to the youth who don't, actually I have a question for both you and Anasuya before we go there. You know, Matthew is someone who works here as America's Teen Esteem Machine, working with teens. And Anasuya is someone who has seen youth in Europe, the U.S., you know, in other countries. The question I have for you both is, do you think that even though we say there's a balance between technology and a balance between not having technology, you know, there's that fine line, Matthew and Anasuya, do you think that our students, if they didn't have technology the way we have it now, would still do very well in school? That's my question to both of you.
Hmm. Well, I'll let him go first.
No, I was going to say ladies first, please.
Okay. Well, you know, it's so interesting that you asked that because there's a video that's going around Facebook right now called Kane's Arcade, and it's about a little 9-year-old boy who built his own arcade, like the kind of arcade you get in a Chuck E. Cheese or in a circus where you pay a ticket and you throw the ball through the hoop, and if you get the ball and hoop, you get a teddy bear or a prize. And the boy is 9 years old, and in his father's store, he built from cardboard his own arcade. And I mean, it has over 20 games in it with tickets and prizes and everything. And every bit of it was something he made with his hands without the help of his father, all by himself, his own arcade. The kid doesn't have an iPod. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have a Game Boy or a Wii. He doesn't have any of that. And he's in East L.A. And so for me, that just says it all. It's like that boy is doing well in school. He's doing well at everything because his mind's free. He doesn't have anyone telling him what's the right game to play or what's the right way to do it. So it does let me it points back to the beauty of the imagination that I've seen outside of the Western world, that it comes from necessity. When you don't have anything else, you create it. And I think that's something that's missing, that we will see the impact in the form of future inventors, future scientists, future developers. That is something I think we're going to pay for in future generations.
Is there a mission for this arcade? I just wanted to, on a lighter note, does he charge for his arcade, or is it free access to anybody who wants to come down to LA?
You know, it's so cute because he charges $1 to play five games, but if you pay $2, you get a fun pass. And a fun pass gives you unlimited play for a month.
Wow.
And he thought of all
That's
of
wonderful.
That himself.
That's wonderful. Wow.
I know. You can look it up. It's on Vimeo. It's called Kane's Arcade, and it's on Vimeo.com.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
You'll love it. Well, you'll be in love with this kid.
Okay. My next question is to Matt. What do you think, Matt?
I was going to say, he didn't answer the question.
That's right. We're going to have to work on that.
I'm going to have to check out Kane's Arcade as well. I'm pretty impressed.
We're still not letting you off
the hook, Matt. Yeah, no, I think it's a great point and it's a great question. And I think the reality is you know, there's so much stuff to occupy our time as from where I was raised and all the things that I had, and now with the computer and Facebook, and even at my age, if I spend too much time on Facebook, I find a very clear and powerful disconnect. If I sit in front of a computer for too long, I'm more prone to negative thoughts, negative feelings, depressed emotions. Just a blatant disconnect from my surroundings, my world, the earth, spirituality, people, friends, family, and a subtle sense of hopelessness. I mean, that might be a little extreme, but a subtle sense of what it is, a very subtle and lightweight sense of hopelessness kind of creeps into my life if I get caught up in staying in that place for weeks on end, because it could happen so easily, and it's instantly obliterated the minute that I walk away from the computer and begin to interact face to face with people again. And just so I like to use my own personal experience and the power of human connection. The power of human connection is there can't be enough said about, you know, that there being an intimate relationship between two people, it might be the most powerful thing on earth. And where everything else fails, the power of connection between one human and another is the key to freedom, to happiness, to enlightenment, to courage. The key to be able to be who we are is to really be in communication intimately with another person. And so, I mean, in the world of technology, I mean, I think it has good points, but it also, if it's used as, you know, if it's used in a way where there is, where having the technology in our lives, if that takes the place of the intimate human connection in our lives, then I think it's big trouble. And I think it's a big problem, and it's a big reason for a lot of the problems in our nation, for one, in America, for one. How many people are on depression medications? I mean, I don't want to get into it, but I mean, we've all been created perfect, and we're just not living up to our. You know, we're all playing. 98% of people are playing very small, spending time involved in technology, and you know, out there looking for things, looking for this, looking for that, looking for love. But you know, how much of us are not looking, but creating instead? And like you said, what the creative part of our lives, it really comes from being, you know. For me, I find my creativity when I don't go to that stuff, to technology. That might have been the longest possible answer to that question.
Hey,
you know what's very interesting with the both of you is that Matthew is a musician, and I know that you are also, you know, an entertainer and performer as well, Anasuya, and
mm-hmm.
Both of you have taken your time to give back to the youth.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing that I think that we should acknowledge, Anasuya Isaacs, you know, from our audience, and also Matthew Forrest, America's Teen Esteem Machine, is that they have taken their time with their own businesses, with their own lives that they have to generate an income for themselves. And these are people who are not Donald Trump or, you know, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, but they still are making a huge contribution, excuse me, Barack and President Clinton, maybe to some degree bigger than they are, because they're out there on the ground. They're dealing with youth every day, one at a time, and those youth are also spreading the word to the next person. So, you know, with that said, Jay, we want to definitely make sure we have all of Max Tippett today. So is there any last questions that you have for both Anasuya and Matthew at the same time?
I don't have any more questions for either one of them, but I'm so happy with the nonprofit stuff that Anasuya is doing out there, and I'm just glad to have you on our show. And Matt, you know how I feel about you.
Yeah. And I think what I would really like to say is, Anasuya and Matt, you know, you're meeting each other through the radio for the first time.
Mm.
But, you know, knowing what each other does, how does it make you feel that both of you are making a difference on either side of the world? In a sense, not maybe doing the same thing, but making a difference with the youth, and knowing that there's, you know, more than, you know, like Anasuya, maybe sometimes when you're working, you might say, oh, sometimes am I the only one out here? Or Matt, sometimes you may think, oh, am I doing this? Am I the only one out there? How does it feel meeting somebody here on the radio that is giving of themselves as you both are? How does it feel to you both?
For me, it's very exciting to have this opportunity to not only meet your partner, Jay, but to meet Matthew. It's very encouraging, you know, and I take all the encouragement I can get, because it's a hard... Well, I don't want to put that out there that it's hard, but it is. It can be discouraging, and one can get the experience of being all alone, and it's an uphill battle, and no one gets you, and so it's always good to listen to others in the field, meet other people, hear what other people are going through, and just remember, it's not about me. And so every time I meet someone new, I put things in this proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Matt?
I definitely agree. It's something that's always fuels my fire. That's for sure. It's hearing, you know, somebody else on a similar mission, just with a different angle or in a different location, and knowing that we're out there and we're doing this, and. You know, and it could be something as simple as somebody that, like, could be this conversation here, or it could be something like I run into somebody in my hometown, and they say, oh, I saw your website. Oh, I heard you're doing motivational speaking in the schools. It's great. And how can I get involved? And, like, so many people that want to help. And I think it's anything, even the simplest something, somebody saying something like that is just something that keeps the fire burning for sure. That, because like Anastasia said, it's, you know, it definitely is challenging. It's challenged to get into to do all this stuff and dedicate time and energy and but the reward is always worth.
Mm.
And with that said, Matthew, first of all, I want to thank both of you for being on the show. And Matthew, would you take it away and give us our tip today?
Sure. Sure. My tip for the day is keep it right on the same topic. And my tip for the day is going to be to create connection. For me, the most powerful thing in my life is the connection I have with my friends and my family. And if it wasn't for the probably about 10 phone calls I make every day just to say hello. If it literally wasn't for those phone calls, and then I make 10, and then I probably get 5 to 10 of the phone calls just to say hello every day, and making it a point, and investing the energy into creating connection, whether it be with my grandmother, whether it be with my best friend, or whether it be with my girlfriend, to pick up the phone and just say hello. And the tip of the day is before we get involved and we jump on the computer or we go home and turn on the boob tube or whatever it might be, take a moment. Take 5 minutes and invest it into creating connection in your life and calling at least 2 people that you haven't spoke to in a while. And when it comes up and they say, so why are you calling? Because typically people get so used to somebody calling for something that people get surprised sometimes when you call just to say hello.
Mm.
And so when they say, why are you calling? Because I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to say hello and let you know I care a lot about you. And something as simple as that can, I've had that pull me out of the darkness at times. Somebody else had no idea what they did. They called me, they told me they were just thinking about me, they hope I have a great day, and that was that, and goodbye. And that phone call has the power to change a life. And it's up to us to pick up the phone and make the call. So tip for the day is create connection with people in your life, and choose 2 people today you haven't spoke to in a while and call to say hello. And if you want to take it to the next level, find out 2 things about that person that you didn't previously know.
You know, one of the things, Matt, that I want to bring back that you talked about last week and share this with Anastasia and Jay again is you talked about last week how important it is for youth to just get together with their parents. You know, the old things that we used to do, get together with their parents and just go over to a friend's house with board games, you know, where everyone just gets to connect. And, you know, I thought about that over the past week, and it was an amazing thing you shared, because what it does, and this is to our audience, Matt Forrest shared this with us last week, what it does is that really does create connection, man. You know, the kids feel safe to be with their parents and be themselves. Like, that has far-reaching effects. The children feel free to be themselves with their parents and adults, which automatically makes them feel comfortable to talk with one another. So, you know, Matt, I just wanted to thank you for that, because you've only built more on, you know, what you just said today with what you shared with us last week. Is there anything more you'd like to say about that, or Anastasia?
Well, let's see if he wants to say any more about that.
No, that's pretty much it.
And Jay, do you want to say anything in closing?
Well, I did want to say something about it, though.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Anastasia.
You know, this beauty of whether you're playing a board game or reading a book with children and parents, or whether you're going to the park or even sitting in your front yard and do something together, time together without gadgets is really great. Time together without as in TV or computer is really great. And that's one of the things that kids in common have all around the world, is they really do need to look into an elder's eyes, be it their parents, aunts and uncles, or any other kind of elder, and see themselves, see who they can be, get that affirmation, get that love, and know that they matter, that they're valuable, and that they're loved.
We're sorry, but we have to go. We'd love to have you on again. And thank you, Anna Suya and Matt. And Jay, let's do our parting words and thank our audience.
I'd like to thank everybody for joining our show. Also, I'd like to thank our guests for being on our show today. And listen in, for tune in for next week's show. It's going to be a great one also. Thanks, everyone.
And Matt will be back with his weekly tip next week, and we will definitely request Anna Sue to come back and have fun with us and maybe possibly co-host. Thank you, everyone,
yes.
And have a great day.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
And Matthew, we have you co-hosting as well. You're not off the you're not getting off that easy, sir.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.